Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible study in the book of Ephesians. Bible study teacher Beth Seifert has today's lesson. And, of course, don't forget the Bible study notes and questions to help you dig deeper. Those can be found on our website, naomistable.com. Let's open up God's Word and begin.
Well, today we begin day 3 in our study through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 today. I've titled this lesson, Who Inherits What? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Okay, so first of all, in the original language, verses 15 through 23, they were all one sentence. Paul's better at run-on sentences than even I am. Paul had just finished reminding the people of their ultimate goal, eternal life in heaven, and of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now Paul moves on to pray for the church, for bounteous blessings from God. He prays for open eyes and enlightened hearts so the people can see the hope that they have, and we have it too, in Jesus Christ. Because of their faith in Jesus and their love for all the saints, which has been talked about and reported to Paul, and that's the kind of report you want to have passed on, Paul continually gives thanks for them. The result of all that they do is that God's glory will increase, and he will give them the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. The more that they trust in God, the more they dig into his word, the more they learn, the more their knowledge and wisdom increases as the Holy Spirit works through them, pointing them to Christ. It is a beautiful cycle, the kind you want to get caught up in. Look at verse 18 for a minute. This is something that has really been demonstrated to me clearly in the last 6 months to a year. We can't open the eyes of our own hearts. It isn't me who enlightens me. I can't say the right chant, sit in the right position, and breathe the right way to make that happen. Having the eyes of our hearts opened is something that God does, along with giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Ladies, so often we get into absolutely pointless discussions about eternal matters with those whose spiritual eyes have never been opened. I say that those discussions are pointless because we end up arguing with people who are blind to the truth. Now, don't misunderstand. We are called to share the truth with everyone, blind or not, absolutely. But there comes a point, and with some people that point may come pretty quickly, where you step back and say, I'm not going to have this conversation anymore because I'm not going to get involved in foolish quarrels. This isn't pleasing to God. And you move on. You are just going to go around and around with those people because really you're speaking two different languages. And look at why God opens the eyes of our hearts so that we can know the hope that we've been called to. He opens our eyes so that we can see that hope, know it is real, and trust more in him. For those people who are denying even the very existence of God, who he has let over to their foolish hearts that have been darkened, that isn't going to happen. He is the one who opens the eyes. The inheritance here that it's talking about, that's not referring to our eternal inheritance, but it's referring to us, the body of Christ, being the inheritance that God looks forward to claiming. Isn't that cool? God looks forward to enjoying forever the people he has saved, you and me. God looks forward to us being in heaven with him. The power that God has? He worked that power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. That immeasurable greatness was for his glory first and foremost, and for the benefit of those he has called as well. That's us. Where Christ is seated at, far above, he is given all power, all authority, and all dominion. It is all his. None of it belongs to anyone else. He is the power that directs everything, good and bad. Now, notice I didn't say that God caused evil or that God is the instrument of evil. But think about what Joseph's brothers did to him. They intended evil for him, but God allowed that to be done to Joseph for his good purpose. Think about that for a second. If God can be taken by surprise by Satan, if God has to play damage control when Satan acts and we see the horrors in the world around us, then who's actually in control then, Satan or God? Nothing that happens surprises God. I trust that he knows what he's doing even when my heart aches at the atrocities in the world. I trust God because I know he is good. And I know that all of this is according to his plan. If his plan from before time began was to redeem us with the blood of his son, how can I say God is not good when evil things that I don't understand happen in our world? Either he is good, and he is, or he isn't. He isn't good sometimes and cleaning up after Satan other times. Jesus' name is above every name, not only in this age, but in the one to come. His name is above every name for all eternity. He is Lord indeed. All things, ladies, are under his feet, and he is head over all things to the church. He is the one who fills his people with all grace and goodness and the fruits of his righteousness, making us all useful here on earth, and provides, through his sacrifice, for us to be with him eternally. Just to name two, he is omnipresent everywhere at once, and omnipotent, knows everything. Nothing surprises my Savior. We are to be his body in the fullness of him who has all things placed under his feet. We serve the King, and we are in a lofty position because of that. This isn't a lowly position. We serve the King beside the Son of the King. Do our lives show that we are children of the King? Do our lives show that we are children who have knelt at the feet of the greatest king ever? And do our lives show that we've learned something? Or do our lives show that we sleep through class, that we grasp enough to get a C, but not enough to really learn the material because we don't want to? I have a friend who, when she tells you that she's going to pray for something, she tells you in just such a way as this. It's very, very specific, very detailed, to the point that I know, as I read an email from my friend Annette, that she was praying as she typed those words. That's what Paul is doing here, and it's a huge gift. So let's reread these words and hear this prayer of Paul's as a prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in this way. Do you feel this prayer being prayed for you today? Do you see the power that is extended to you as a child of the King for your sanctification and for his glory? Are you ready to grab hold of it and become a functioning member of his body? To be part of his fullness? I know that I'm not where God wants me to be. As a children's song says, he's still working on me. But I have to say that this passage gives me encouragement and calms my anxious heart. How wonderful to know that God loves me so much, that I'm so precious to Him, that He looks forward to spending time with me in eternity. How amazing is that? And how wonderful to know that He provides everything that I lack, all the things that I need on a day-to-day basis to rely on His strength to accomplish His glory and His will. My purpose should be His purpose. Always. I serve the Lord whose name is above every name, who rules everything and has dominion over everything. He cares for me and loves me and longs for me to be with Him in eternity. Yay, God! How about you? Does this passage encourage you today? Did you know that God looks forward to spending eternity with you? Does that blow you away? Does that move you to action to rely on Him for your strength to accomplish His purpose? Or does that move you to action to earn His favor? Ladies, you don't have to earn it. Indeed, you can't. Your response to Him should be one of gratitude for all He has done, not one of paying a debt that you owe. Because the debt that you owed, you can't pay. But it's been paid for you. Where will you go to find your fullness today? To your works or to your Savior?